There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I like that. I like that. That means, Brother Zarius, the temptation your members have, you have too. Your members say, I'd like to take that preacher someday and choke his neck. And all the time you're in the pulpit saying, I'd like to take my people today and choke their necks. Now, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The word temptation can also be translated testing. There's no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. There's no load you have to bear, but such as is common to man. There's no burden you carry, but such as is common to man. The other passage is about like that. For example, in James 5:17, it says, Elijah was a man of like passions as we. I like that. Elijah? Yeah. You mean the fellow prayed down fire from heaven, had the same temptations I have? Yes. Had the same passions I have. Had the same weaknesses I have. Had the same fears that I have. Had the same apprehensions that I have. Had the same troubles that I have. Had the same flesh that I have. Has the same testings that I have. Elijah! Yeah, Elijah. And yet the Bible says, though he was a man of like passions as we are, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. Didn't rain for 3.5 years on the face of the earth. He prayed again that it would rain. After 3.5 years of drought, it began to rain. And all this done by a fellow of like passions such as we. Somebody's with the house. You think the Lord used a crooked stick? That's all he's got to use. That's all he's got to use. We're all crooked sticks. God has chosen the weak things to confound the wise and the base things to set at naught those which are. And so forth. So, in the first place, I want you to notice that there is a common temptation all of us have. A common temptation all of us have. Even our blessed Savior. Hebrews 4:15 says, He was in all points tempted like as we. What? Our Savior, Jesus, was in all points tempted like as we. Elias, or Elijah, was a man of like passions even as we are. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Look at the Bible, for example. Abraham. Abraham, father of the faithful. Amen. Father of God's people. I mean those who believe in faith and also father of the great Hebrew nation. Just as George Washington was the father of our country, even so Abraham, the father of the Jews and the father of all those that believe in Christ. Abraham, the great Abraham, who left his home, left his homeland, left his friends, left his family, left his house, left his possessions, left his job, left everything to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God, and didn't know where he was going to go. Turn me down about that much, fellas. Hey, anybody in the PA room? Turn me down about that much, please. Not much, please. Just a little bit. And he didn't know where he was going to go. And but he left. And yet that same Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife. He said, she's just my girlfriend. She's just a friend. And he lied about Sarah being his wife. What? Why? Because you have a temptation to lie, and sometimes you do lie. And Abraham had the same temptation. I think of Samson. It was said of Samson, more than any other man in the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. More than it is said of any other man. No, Samson wasn't big, some big husky, muscular goon. No, he wasn't some big human baboon. No, Samson was a great, mighty man of God, the greatest judge that ever judged Israel, one of the greatest men that God ever gave his people. And you know what happened to Samson? Samson sold out for Delilah and gave his secret and lost his power. Why? Because Samson was a man of like passions as we. The Apostle Paul had his head shaved, got scared one time. And I think compromised and had his head shaved. What I mean by that? I mean a Jewish ordinance, a Jewish ritual. The fellow who said, don't go back to those old customs. Don't be in bondage again. The same fellow who wrote and said, I'm afraid of you. You observe times and seasons and days and holy times. The same fellow who said, let therefore no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or Sabbath days, which are shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. That same fella got scared, went back into Jewish legalism and had his head shaved as a Jewish ceremony. Why? Because Paul was a man tempted like we're tempted. There's Peter, the first pope. And sort of like I'm the first pope. There's Peter. Why wasn't Peter the first pope? Because he had a mother-in-law. Nobody has a mother-in-law to be a pope. You know that. You can't have a mother-in-law without having a wife. Most of us, if we would love to have wives without mother-in-laws, but mothers-in-law. But no, Peter was he was always chosen as the leader of the apostles. He was the first mentioned. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and so forth. Peter was always first mentioned. He was a part of the three who were chosen to be with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Every time our Lord wanted three, he chose Peter, James, and John. And Peter was always listed first. What happened to Peter? Got mad, cursed, swore, denied he belonged to the Lord. He said, no, I'm not a fundamentalist. I'm not one of those people. And he cursed and swore. Peter, wonder why? Because he's a man of like passions and temptations such as we are. James and John, the other two, wanted the first seat, the uppermost seat. They said, we'd like to sit on the right hand and on the left hand in the kingdom. And David, you recall the awful sin of David and Uriah and David and Bathsheba. And you recall the sin of Moses, lost his temper, smote the rock twice, and said, hear ye, ye rebels! Smote the rock twice. You be careful how you treat us rebels. Moses lost his ticket to the promised land. He didn't get to go to the Holy Land because of the way he treated the rebels. A lot of you folks would get a free trip to the Holy Land sometime, no doubt, if you treat us rebels a little bit better. He said, hear ye, rebels! And he got mad at the rebels. And in the Greek, in the Hebrew, that means southerners. And but anyway, and he lost his temper. You said, well, the house, I have a trouble with my temper. So did Moses. Well, I've got trouble looking at women, not clothed very much. So did David. Sometimes I want to kill somebody. So did David. Well, sometimes I have a hard time telling the truth. So did Abraham. Now, look at Job. Job, my, what a man, a perfect and upright man, so great that God bragged on him and told the devil, that's one of the best men I've got. That's my choice, my product. That's my window dressing. That's my display ad down there. That's Job. What happened to Job after he stood the test? He got cocky and proud, and the Lord had to put him through a time of testing and trouble and strife because he got proud and said, look what I did. You said, how? Sometimes when I sing a solo, I get proud. I do too. When I sing a solo, I get proud with a voice like mine, and so forth. But so did Job. Well, how sometimes I just want to lose my temper and tell somebody off. Yeah, so did Moses. Well, I'd like to kill somebody sometimes. Yeah, so did David. Well, sometimes I have trouble with the truth. So did Abraham. Well, how sometimes I don't stand up for what I think is really right, and I said a curse word time or two. So did Peter. You're in good company, aren't you? There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Look at Noah. Noah, best man on the earth at one time. Noah, the only man whose family was saved through the flood. What did he do? Got drunk. Every once in a while on the staff, we'll have a busy day or something, and I'll go down the hall, suggest we all go down to Calumet City and get drunk. Not only go to Calumet City and get drunk, but that's where we always go. Now, you watch it, it'll be all across America. The house gets drunk in Calumet City. No, it's in Hammond, where I usually do. But anyway, now, just to set the record straight for some of you ladies that might be from Canada and don't get the southern, quote, humor, end quote, I've never tasted even as much as a drop of beer in all my life. I thank God I'm a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person. And anyway, I thank God I'm not as these. Noah got drunk. You said, well, how sometimes I'd like to get drunk. Yeah, so did Noah. I'd like to lose my temper. So did Moses. I have a hard time telling the truth. So did Abraham. Well, sometimes, Brother House, I didn't have a hard time keeping my mind pure. Yeah, so did David. Sometimes I want to kill somebody. Yeah, David did too. And look at Elijah. Elijah, man that could pray down fire from heaven. Elijah, man that could stand before the prophets of Baal and challenge all of them to a contest, look up to God Almighty and say, God send fire, and God send fire that consumes the bullock and destroys all the water around the 12 barrels of water poured on the altar, and God destroys it. That same fella got scared of Jezebel and ran and got discouraged and sat under the juniper tree and said, I'm the only one left. You sit with the house, sometimes I get so blue, I wish I could be stronger. Yeah, I know Elijah got blue too. But the house, sometimes I get so discouraged. Yeah, I know Elijah got discouraged too. Sometimes I get afraid. Yeah, so did Elijah. Doesn't that encourage your heart a little bit? Let it make you feel a little better to know that no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And these great men of God, listen to that hall of heroes. Listen, Elijah, Noah, Job, Moses, David, James, John, Peter, Paul, Samson, Abraham. What it is? Yet they had the same problems you have. They didn't eat right. They got hiccups too. And they had to have Rolaids after they ate Mexican food, just like you do. Every time Abraham had any Arab food, he had to have some Rolaids. And just like you do, same temptation, same problems, same burdens. That's right. Well, look at Jonah. Jonah, greatest evangelist. Greater than Billy Sunday? Yep. Greater than Dwight L. Moody? Yep. Greater than Charles G. Finney? Yep. Greater than Jonathan Edwards? Yep. The greatest evangelist who ever lived. Didn't want to preach in a certain city. Said, no, sir, I don't want to go to that city. Bunch of fish-worshipping Ninevites, I don't want to go there. Took off down and decided to go on a cruise and got on a ship and left the will of God and was swallowed by fish and stayed there 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. Why? He was a man. You know how sometimes I just get afraid. I sometimes don't want to do God's will. Yeah, I know Jonah had the same trouble. Look at Thomas. Thomas was a doubter. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, all of us are down here on this earth and we all have the same temptations and the same testings. Not only the Bible characters, but great men. Great men. I know the great preachers in America very, very well. I know most of them intimately. I know, I don't call any of them on a first name basis, but I know them well enough to call them on a first name basis. The great preachers in America, and I know they're human just like you are. One night, I stayed with John Rice in the same room. Oh my, I thought I've got to do just right now. I've got to get my Bible down, read it for an hour before I go to bed. I got to get on my knees, and I got to think of a pretty prayer to pray. I'm standing in the same room with John R. Rice, the great John R. Rice, great man of God that he is. And so I just knew, you know, that I wouldn't be able to have the kind of prayer. I was a younger preacher then. And I wanted to wait till bedtime, see what happened. You know what happened? He watched the news on television and then watched a few minutes of Johnny Carson. And then he got in bed. He sat up in bed. He looked to the left. Now, why, I don't know. Looked to the right. And he said, that's it. Like that. Didn't read his Bible at all. I mean, listen, he went to sleep in less than 2 seconds. He said, that's it. Like that. And he snored all night in four different languages. Used for the house. There sometimes I just don't want to read my Bible before I go to bed. Well, you're in good company. You say, sometimes. Now, personally, I don't think anybody ought to watch the Johnny Carson show. I think it's a wicked show. How do you know? John Colston told me how wicked it is. And nobody. But, you said, sometimes I just want to get a little peek and see what's going on. So did John Rice. I was sitting on the platform in Garland, Texas, in the church I pastored there. And Lester Roloff was preaching. Dr. John Rice was sitting right here. Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., God bless the memory of that great man. He was sitting on one side of me. And Lester Roloff was preaching. And Lester Roloff was preaching against television. Oh, brother. I mean, you shouldn't, not only should watch it, you shouldn't even own one, you shouldn't even smell one, you shouldn't even use the word television. And boy, he was preaching on the subject, a great theological message on the subject, and a mule walked on, as the title of his message. It's about, you know, when Absalom got his head caught in the tree and the mule walked on without Absalom. And everybody, you know, television, oh, he preached against television. And right in the middle of that thing when it was so tense and taut and everybody there had televisions but Roloff and he's letting them all have it, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. leaned across me and said, hey, Dr. John. You know how he used to do like this. Hey, Dr. John. Dr. John. All the time Roloff was preaching against television. Dr. John said, what is it, Dr. Bob? What is it? And Dr. John said, I still like to watch I Love Lucy. Now, that's Dr. Bob Jones Sr. You say, Brother Hiles, I'll tell you what, I have such a hard time living right. So did Bob Jones Sr. So did Dwight L. Moody. I won't call the name of this preacher, but if I call the name of this preacher, everybody in this room will know who it was. He's more famous, as famous as anybody I've mentioned today, and I won't tell you whether he's one of them or not. But he had a terrible cold. He was going to go on a preaching tour. He tried everything in the world, couldn't get over it. Somebody said that if you'd smoke a cool cigarette, it'd take care of it. But he tried everything else. His nose was all knotting up, and he couldn't hardly breathe. And so he went. He was going on a train trip, and he went down to the train station right here in Chicago and went to the concession place and got him a package of cool cigarettes and went back between the trains where nobody was and reached for his pocket to get it and heard some lady say, "Oh, Dr. So-and-so." He said, "I had my hand on the cigarette inside my pocket. In 2 seconds, I'd have had it in my mouth, and she saw me." You said, "Well, the house, I have a hard time not smoking cigarettes." So did one of the greatest preachers in this world, and everybody here would know his name if I called it. Huh? Does that make you feel a little better? You're not the only dirty crook in the whole world, you know it? The rest of us dirty crooks, too. There's no temptation taking you but such as common man. One day, I was flying on an airplane with Dr. Bob Gray. The plane took off, and he held on. Just like some nervous woman that had never flown before. And I said, "Dr. Gray, what's wrong? Are you sick?" He said, "No, we're taking off." And I said, "Bob, what's wrong with you? Haven't you ever taken off before?" He said, "Yeah, and I feel like this every time I take off." You know, I said, "Well, just don't put your whole weight down while we're up then." But you said, "Dr. Bob Gray, one of the greatest preachers in America?" "Yes, one of the greatest preachers in America." "Dr. Bob Gray!" Listen, that fella had beads of perspiration across his face. His hands were clammy. Every time we'd hit a bump in the road, he'd hit an air pocket. He'd shake like that. And I said, "Dr. Bob." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, one time I was on a flight," and he said, "we fell, oh, I think 2,000 feet. Just all of a sudden something happened to the airplane and just fell 2,000 feet. And he said, "We thought we were gone, everybody but me." And I said, "Didn't you think you were gone?" He said, "No, I knew we were going to die." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I've always heard by people who are dying that when time comes to die, God gives you dying grace. And you did sure hadn't given me grace to die at the time." And I thought, now, I'd expected that from Joe McFuddlebody, who pastors out the Slippery Creek Baptist Church in Forks of the Rock, Texas. But Dr. Bob Gray, afraid to fly. Yeah, afraid to fly. I'll have to tell about that when I first started flying. I was afraid to fly as a paratrooper. Had jumped out 19 times, but never had landed in the airplane. I wasn't afraid to take off. Wasn't too much afraid to jump, but was afraid to stay up. Was afraid it wouldn't stay up. And I was in Norfolk, Virginia. I was going to, had to fly from Norfolk, Virginia back to Washington, D.C. and change planes to go to Dallas, Texas, where I was pastoring then. And a snowstorm came. Biggest snowstorm in the history of Norfolk, Virginia came. And a plane took off for 2 days in Norfolk Airport. Well, it was Friday night, and I had to, after the service, and I had to take off. I got back to Washington Saturday morning. Didn't have jets in those days. Had to fly DC-7, and it took about 6 hours to fly from Washington to Dallas. And only hope I had to preach on Sunday was to fly. Went out to the airport. Oh, you couldn't even see the runway. Not a plane had taken off for 2 days. And I was scared to death, absolutely scared to death. And so the announcement came. Said, "Flight so-and-so to Washington. Take off in a few minutes. Gate so-and-so." I said, "Oh, so my soul, that's my flight. I've got to get on that thing. You can't even see the runway." And I said, "I'm scared to death." So I thought, well, I'll try to get a bus. I went right quick and called a Greyhound bus, and I said, "Do you have a bus going to Washington?" I was afraid to fly. I didn't want on that plane. They said, "No, every road is blocked between here and Washington, D.C., and the only way you can get there is to fly." I said, I know. I know what I'll do. I'd had a little stomach flare-up down in Texas, and the doctor had given me some phenobarbital pills to take before I ate to calm my stomach. And one of those pills will calm your stomach, and two will make you feel much better, and three, whee! And so I took the whee dose, and I went to the restroom, got on the plane, and took 3 phenobarbital pills. That's more than anybody ought to take. But I thought they'd put me out. I'd go to sleep. And that's Dr. Jack Hyles. That's not some little old piddling Christian like Bob Billings. That's Dr. Jack Hyles. That's not some little old piddling U.S. congressman. That's Dr. Jack Hyles. And so I got on the airplane, sat down beside a fellow, and the fellow said, "Hey, aren't you Dr. Jack Hyles?" I said, "Yes, I am." "Man," he said, "I'm so glad to see you. Boy, I never was glad to see anybody in my life." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I was afraid of this. I was afraid to fly on this plane." He said, "My, to see you on this plane. I feel so much better with a man of God sitting beside me on this plane." I said, "Thank you. I'm glad you do." He said, "You'll never believe this." He said, "You'll be ashamed when you hear this." He said, "But I went and called a bus terminal and asked them if they had a bus going to Washington." I said, "You didn't." He said, "That isn't all." He said, "I took some tranquilizers while I go in the restroom." I said, "You did?" Now there was, he said, "Dr. Hyles, you're one of my favorite preachers. Now listen to me." There was one of his 2 or 3 favorite preachers in the whole world. And there was a little Christian man that never preached a sermon in his life that I didn't even know. And yet he and I had the same fears and took the same measures to alleviate them. I'm saying, over and over again, I've seen it. People, same temptation in the Bible, great men of God. Let me say, did you know even Jesus had the same trouble? Jesus. Jesus didn't want to die. He said, "If it were possible, let this cup pass from me." He had the same temptations and the same fears. Did you know that the man that's speaking to you right now has the same fear of death that you have? "Oh, I'm not afraid of where I'm going to go. I just don't want to go that route. I'd 10,000 times rather Jesus come back. And if somebody told me right now, 'I'm going to shoot you in the head, get ready to die,' I don't think I'd say, 'Well, glory to God, I'm just happy to die.' Now, I don't mind what's going to take place after that, but I just don't want to go bloody, that's all. And I don't mind." And this fellow said, I'm not afraid to go to heaven, but don't want to take the next bus, you know. And same apprehensions, same fears. You, forgive me for putting it, but I think that's one reason many of you come to hear me preach. People say, "We can identify with you." You know why? I have the same fears you have. If I can find some of the answers to help those fears, then I can tell you what answers I found. And maybe the same answers that I found will help you. Same, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Same fears. I don't want to grow old. Neither do you. Every time a hair falls out, I have a funeral service for it, so forth. I don't want, and I don't smile much as I used to. You know why I don't smile much? Because when I smile, my crow's feet. No, they're more like eagle's feet now up here. And you say, "Well, how's you in trouble?" Yeah, same problem. I stand in front of the mirror and try to cover up my bald spot just like you do. And I fail just like you do. See, there's no temptation taking you, but such is this common to man. Same weaknesses? Yeah. Get tired? Yeah. Frustrated? Yeah. Ever get mad? Yeah. Ever want to choke somebody? Yeah. Ever want to tell something that isn't true? Yeah. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. I was down in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, preaching. And I was so tired. I didn't know why I was so tired. And I realized why I got sick. And, I was sick. Oh, when I get sick, nobody's as sick as I am when I get sick. In the first place, a man gets sicker than a woman. I can prove it. If you don't believe it, you just listen to him suffer and see who's the sickest. And if you don't believe a man gets sicker than a woman does, ask any man, he'll tell you. And I was sick. Oh, my. I preached, and I had 103 fever and preached again. I barely could preach. I went home that night and decided I was tired. And I got clear of fever with some aspirin. I decided to kneel down beside my bed and pray. And I woke up about 3 hours later on my knees, asleep beside the bed. And I thought, this is no way to pray. This is no way to serve God. And I got a plane, flew to Indianapolis, Indiana. And I was so weak I couldn't hardly stand up. And I leaned against the pulpit and preached. when I got back to the room that night, I said, this is no way to serve God with a body that's tired and sick and weak. And I said, I'll be glad when I get a body that's like Jesus' body where I can preach and preach and preach and preach and never get tired. I bet a lot of you folks would be glad you get one where you can hear and hear and hear and never get tired too. And but all I'm trying to say is, yeah, same weakness, same temptation. And that leads me down to the next thing, and that is not only is there a common temptation, but there's a common help. Common help. You can have the victory just like I can. You say, well, I'm glad old John Rice won the victory. Yeah, and you can have the victory the same way John Rice had it, got his too. Whatever was available for Dwight Moody is available for you. Whatever was available for Billy Sunday, you can have too. And whatever got him to resist his temptation, you can have it. Now follow me. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. To whom was Paul talking? Bunch of Corinthian Christians, bunch of worldly baby Christians. He said, you can have the victory. You can have the same help that I have, just like I can. You know, one of the things I think is great about this church, I think the people in this church are as near what the preacher is. Now, I hope you won't think I think I'm better than you are. I don't. But I think the people in our church are as near a part of the ministry as any people anywhere. I win souls, you win souls. I sacrifice, you sacrifice. Across the country, folks interview me for newspapers and television. Dr. Hiles, would you tell me... Dr. Hiles... Would you tell me why your church grows like it does? Yes, I'll tell you why. It grows like it does because the people do the same thing the pastor does. Now, what I mean by that, I mean a lot of our folks are getting the idea God can answer your prayers as well as mine. A lot of our folks are getting miraculous answers to prayer. Almost every day of my life, I get several notes put under my door or letters in my box saying, Pastor, thank God, He does answer prayer. He does supply needs. And they tell me wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stories about how that God has supplied their needs. I guess one of the great days in my life was the day when I realized that God could hear Jack Hiles as much as He could Billy Sunday, Dwight Moody, John Rice, Bob Jones, and the other guys. And one day I appropriated what God had for them for myself. And God wants you to have it. We have the same temptation. Yes, but we can have the same help. The very same help. And then the third thought I want to give you is this. It says, and will also, with the temptation, make a way to escape. But in the Greek it doesn't say make a way to escape. It says make the way to escape. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, and will also with temptation make the way to escape. Only one way to escape temptation. And what's that one way? That's in Jesus. It's for you. It's for you young people, young folks here. Say, Brother House, I have an awful hard time when I'm on a date not wanting to hold her hand. Brother House, how did you overcome that? How did you keep from having that temptation? I didn't keep from having it. I had it too. You say, when you were a teenager on a date, you wanted to hold hands? Sure I did. You say, did you do it? You keep your nose out of my business. But, yeah, had that temptation. Sure I did. Brother Hiles, I tell you what, I have an awful hard time over... Yeah, I did too. And I do too. And so does everybody else. Have the same hard time. But God says just as we all have the same temptation, we all have the same help, and we all have the same way to escape. Now listen to me. It boils down to the same old thing I said 50,000 times behind this pulpit. Everything you have need of is in Jesus. He is the way to escape. He is the victory. He has the answer. He can carry the burden. He can give you the power to overcome the temptation. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Now, you listen to me. Some of you folks here are not saved. You wonder why you're not happy. You wonder about all the frustrations and all the sleepless nights. I know why you're not happy. You don't know Jesus. I know why you have to take all your sleeping pills. Jesus can keep you from taking sleeping pills and phenobarbital before you fly. Jesus can. Your need is Jesus. Trite but true, Christ is still the answer. 38 years ago, I trusted him. Now, I'm not preaching now. I'm not a preacher preaching. I'm a Christian testifying. I have never had one need in these years. Our Lord is not dead. Not one. Not one. I've been preaching for 30 years. 30 years I've been preaching. And I am more convinced today than ever have been. He's the answer. What you need is Jesus. What you drunkards need is Jesus. What you fearful folks need is Jesus. What you lonely people need is Jesus. What you sad people need is Jesus. What you discouraged folks need is Jesus. What you bound folks need is Jesus. What you dope addicts need is Jesus. What you lustful people need is Jesus. Listen, all of us have the same need. We all have the same temptation. We all have the same help available. And we all have the same way to escape. And that's Jesus. He's the way. I recall, and I've shared this with our people many times, I recall when I'd finished 25 years of preaching, on my 25th anniversary as a gospel preacher, I went to a motel room and got up on top of the bed and took off my shoes and jumped up and down on the bed and shouted all day long, "Blessed be God, how good God's been to me. Thank God." And I shouted all day long. And I sang and sang. I do not sing very well. When I sing, Gabriel quits blowing his horn. David quits playing his harp. The angels hold their ears. Heaven's flag is flown at half mast for 3 days. And I'm not much of a singer, but the Lord loves to hear me sing. And I sang, I sang, I sang. And I clapped my hands and I praised the Lord. Now, I'm saying now, not as a preacher, but as a Christian, what you need is Jesus. Jesus. That's what you need. Take courage today in the temptations you have. You say, "Brother Howe, sometimes I want to holler at my children." And I know, so did Mrs. John R. Rice. Mrs. John Rice? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. We're all sort of in the same fix, aren't we? We all have the same needs, don't we? We all have the same weaknesses, don't we? But isn't it wonderful? We all have found the same answer. And that answer is in a person. And that person is the one to whom I invite you today. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, in a very special way this morning, I pray that you'd help us to realize the answer is Jesus. I pray this morning you'd give us the realization that the answer is in our wonderful Christ. Bless those that know him not today. Bless those that have never trusted him. Bless those that are tempted today to do wrong, and may they find in Christ the answer and the strength and the way out. Our heads are bowed.